Hello, Royals fans. Welcome to Inside Athletics, your inside look at the athletic program here at Eastern Mennonite University. I'm Dave King, back again with you after a couple of weeks of being off, and I'm joined by James DeBoer, our sports information director, who very adequately filled in for the last two Fridays that I was away. First of all, let me thank those of you who found out about and responded to the death of my mother, which was the reason I was gone. She passed away 2 weeks ago on a Friday, and then we had the funeral last Friday. So those were the 2 days and a couple of others that I was out. And as is the old cliche in athletics, James, some experience like that puts sports in its proper perspective. At least they usually say that. Mm-hmm. But it was a wonderful time of celebrating my mom's life, who passed away at age 90. Was able to have a brief conversation with her by cell phone, thanks to technology, just 2 hours before she passed away. Was very coherent. We had a good conversation at that point. And something that does sort of relate a bit, I guess, is as I've gone through these last couple of weeks, I think the hole is a little bit bigger there than what I thought. And the interesting piece is that I am realizing that that is the end of that generation, and I'm now the older folks. So three or four times over the last 2 weeks, I've had something that I really needed to find out about the past, or I needed to find out some information, and Mom was the one I always called. And so that's a unique experience for me at this particular point, to recognize that that's the end of that generation, and it's a different experience besides simply the loss. But it's not presence with Mom, because I wasn't with her that much. We talk a lot by phone, so that's been an interesting journey, and I'm sure it will continue. But she did say at the end that she was proud of me, and that helps me to keep on going with the work that I'm doing here. So it's good to be back, and I thank James very much for filling in for me at those times, and for all the rest of you who have reached out to me during this time. And it's been okay. We'll just keep working at it as we go along. So there's been a lot of activity. We are wrapping up the semester. The parking lots are almost empty today. Maybe a few finals left. And an interesting dynamic that impacts sports. We don't do any regular organized, I shouldn't say that, regularly scheduled practices during finals week. And we try to fit them in wherever we can, given the kids' finals and how they fall. So it is a very different schedule week. Volunteer practices for track and field, indoor shooting times for basketball teams. And then both men and women turn around and play today and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, wow, how do you do that? And where's the distraction and not the distraction for that? So it's a different kind of a week. We try to support the kids. We stay in the office as late as we can to let them keep working on their projects and computers and trying to get them geared up. I think for some athletes, they suddenly realize how important the academic piece is, and what happens when you do procrastinate at the collegiate level for some of them, and the amount of work that has to go into it. So I think there were some surprised looks on faces, particularly among the freshmen. So it's a different week, and we had no games, just some practices, but now we turn around and try to play. So James, why don't you first of all recap where we're headed for this coming week, so and a little bit, maybe, because I know the men are trying to jam all their non-conference games in before we go to break. So yeah, Give us a little rundown of what's up this weekend.
Sure. Men's basketball, incredibly busy. You mentioned that we're trying to cram all the non-conference games in. The men are playing in 4 games over a 6-day period, starting today, Friday. They play Friday, Saturday, Monday, and Wednesday. And so they are going to be busy. They're probably going to be pretty tired by the end of it. And probably the only reason that Kirby agreed to schedule things that way is because they're all non-conference games. But we'll keep them busy. And the nice part is that 3 out of the 4 of those games, while not all, quote, home games, they're really close. And anybody from the Harrisonburg area can easily go see them. So that's nice. This weekend, today and tomorrow, they're playing in Bridgewater at the Don Glick Classic. It's always a lot of fun. We go down there. It's hosted by Bridgewater College, our biggest rivals. We don't play Bridgewater. We just get a chance to play some other teams that have come to the area. So that's a lot of fun to... I don't even want to use the word camaraderie. I don't know if we can with Bridgewater all the time. But
we can.
We can? All right, that's good. It's nice to be able to kind of kind of work alongside with the Bridgewater folks, and that's how we get to our games. We play each other and have a little less fun. But it's great to go in there. And one of the fun things that they often do at the Don Glick Classic, and they're continuing again this year, is if you bring a canned food item, you get in free. So I don't know precisely what they pay down there, but you're saving, you know, a good few bucks, and you're certainly helping out a great cause. It goes to one of the local food banks. So just bring along a canned food item to Bridgewater this weekend and get you in free. The men play tonight at 6 o'clock against Wesley College from Delaware, and then tomorrow at 2 o'clock they're playing Maryland Bible. So both a little bit earlier than normal, but that's because we are one of the neutral teams. Bridgewater, of course, will save the late games for themselves. So 6 o'clock tonight, 2 o'clock on Saturday. Bring a canned food item, and you get in free. And, of course, if you can't make it, if you've gone home already from the semester or whatever else, all these games will have live stats and a live webcast. It'll be kind of fun. I'm actually doing play-by-play for him this time. Scott Lowe, our regular play-by-play guy, is enjoying a weekend without any serious commitments, he told me. So I'm very happy to do them. I don't have to keep the stats, and it'll be fun to sit along the sidelines and see a game from a little bit different angle. So those games are this weekend. Then Monday they play on the road at Christopher Newport. So anybody out in the Hampton Roads area, you got a chance to see the Royals playing CNU, which should be a pretty good contest. Also a weird time. We should just say, hey, pay attention right now. All the times are weird. They're playing, I think 5:30 is the scheduled time on Monday at CNU. And then Wednesday we're at home playing Mary Washington. That also is a weird time at 6 o'clock, so an hour earlier than normal. So please come out to that game. We'd love a huge crowd, but to make sure you come out an hour earlier than normal because Wednesday's at 6 o'clock. That's the men. They're just super busy. The women are playing one game this weekend and then taking their break, and they'll actually come back a little bit early for the semester break and play some of their games early. But they're at Delaware Valley this Saturday, so they have the one game, and then they can disperse for the holiday season. But just a lot of fun to see our teams, and it's always very interesting, as you talked about, just to see what's going to happen after they've been away from action for a week.
Right, particularly, I think, the men, when you talk about four games in 6 days coming off of this, and yes, they don't have any studies over them, so hopefully they can relax on Sunday, but then again, they're going to have to practice on Sunday a little bit to be ready for Monday's game, and hopefully a little bit of legs, and CNU is a very good squad. I think the other thing that always keeps it in perspective is there is this balance, particularly in any sport, but we'll focus on this one, that, yeah, the non-conference quote, in a sense, doesn't count until you get down to the end, and then maybe it does a little bit in terms of selection in the NCAA. So on the one hand, coaches approach this to say, hey, we got a lot of guys on the bench, we can play them. What we want to be doing is playing our best ball in the ODAC tournament at the end of February. Mm-hmm. So it's just one game, and it leads to that. Except now that you go back to them, they do have some significance or potential significance down the road. But again, I think the focus, particularly in the basketball programs here, even though they're very strong both in the ODAC and nationally on the men's side in particular, and usually we get two or maybe even three bids to go into the NCAA tournament, this focus still is always on the ODAC championship, and that's where you want to go, and that's where they're really. So I'm not, you know, no coach ever takes a break from the game, but I think they're still using these to try to work on different things. But it will be interesting, as you say, how do they respond when they really haven't been focused on anything? Mm-hmm. I mean, they haven't been focused on basketball. I think that most of the teams have had at least 2 days off during this week, and then we'll see. And then we'll see where they go. Of course, then the women taking off and going all the way up to Delaware Valley, and everybody's thinking about getting out and going to, in fact, coming home. There's only going to be two players on the bus coming home, I think. Or, that's why we're not taking bus. We're taking vans to do that. So that's one of the other things. And just so you folks know the schedule in there, the basketball teams will come back on the 27th and 28th and be here for the next week and a half before students come back. It is one of our more expensive times. We're very grateful to the Housing and Res Life people to allow the kids to stay in a dorm so that they have a place to stay. Some of them will be in their own room, some of them will not. But we're responsible to feed them because there's no dining services or Royals Den services at all. So it is a big chunk of our budget, and yet conference games are scheduled during that time, so we have no choice. Other people would say, well, just give them a longer break. Well, you really can't because we have a conference game, I think, soon after we get back. So I know the women do it. At least they play on like the 29th or 30th, so that's not a conference game, but there are events. So, and it is an interesting time because we try to keep them busy. We try to have them focused on it. Again, it's one of those adjustments that you make from high school to college is what it takes to focus in on that. The track and field team, indoor track, they went to one partial meet, I believe, because there was some cancellations there. Mm-hmm. They will take the entire time off and come back and hit it hard when they get back here, and then we move into probably the most crazy time, January, February, at least mm-hmm. indoors, when we'll have men's and women's basketball, men's volleyball, indoor track and field, and then baseball and softball start up and playing in February. They need to practice in January.
I know. And keep your eyes on the website. I'll be posting those schedules in the coming days on emuroyals.com. But men's volleyball, they start up in late January already. And we do start with an alumni match for men's volleyball, so that should be a lot of fun. Baseball starts early February. And as a person who grew up in Minnesota, that always blows my mind. But I guess Virginia's different. But so they start early February, and then softball starts late February with games. So obviously, practice starts before that.
Well, I can tell you that even though you're from Minnesota, our current baseball coach doesn't quite understand why we're starting in early February either, and he's a Virginia boy. So it may be that. One of the other factors that, again, as we sort of mentioned here briefly this morning, that we have this balance between the academics and the athletics, and it is a really, really difficult balance because we do want the kids to perform in both arenas. And how do you balance that time? And how do you put forth the energy to do that? We continue to work at some of the ways in which we can support the student athletes in getting their work done. But it was interesting to see the stress levels that are added to the players during this particular time. So we're going to take some of these experiences and work a lot harder with them second semester, particularly the younger ones, and say, let's spread this thing out so you don't have this crunch time when it comes right at the end. But it is one of the balances that is really critical for us. And we are continuing to work at ways that we can help the kids strive for excellence at both, but they have to figure out. And the nice thing about it is if we can get kids to take the correlation that they would have from athletics to the academics, it makes it a little bit easier. So, for example, I know that there are some students who will, freshmen in particular, over the years who have said to me, well, we use a sort of a phrase around here that we suggest, it's recommended anyway, that students spend 3 hours out of class working on their schoolwork for every 1 hour that they're in that class. Now, there are some students who will come to me and say, well, what am I supposed to do for those 3 hours? Because I already did my assignment or I already did this. And what you have to share with them is the fact that, well, did you read the chapter the second time? Did you meet with some other kids to talk about it? Did you sit down to figure out what the professor might want you to take out of this? How does this apply to other questions? Did you do other research that supports that article that you read or whatever? That's just one example. And it's kind of unclear to kids because in high school they've been very used to, well, I complete the assignment and I turn it in and that's it. But if you take a look at the way they work at their game, no matter what the sport is, it's much the same. You do need to spend a lot of time sort of outside of practice, whether that be nutrition, conditioning, whether it be going in and getting in the batting cage, getting your pitching in, taking the shooting. We have shooting machines that the kids can come in and use all the time. So if they could think about, and this is one thing we try to do, what is it, how do you go about achieving excellence in your sport? What does it take to do it? How do you work at it? What are the angles you work at? If you can take that, it applies directly to the way you should be working at your academic piece. So they actually, the athletes, in my opinion, have a very good example of how to stay up academically if they'll just study a little bit about what it takes. If you think about it, they're watching game film all the time, and they're figuring out what's going to happen the next time and all that. It's the same kind of thing that should be happening. Take your assignment and figure out how it's going to apply to this quiz or this test or this paper or this presentation and figure out how this article relates to this and that. And so they have great opportunities to make this comparison between the athletics and the academics, and we continue to work at it. And this comes into really focus during this past week. And so it'll be interesting for us to take some conversation and sort of figure out a little bit about how we can help them maneuver that. So it's one of the things that we come face to face with all the time, and we'll jump on those opportunities. And it's one thing nice is when the kids are here over the next course of a couple of days, I will have an opportunity, and coaches will have an opportunity to sit down with them and work a little bit at that. So we're coming up to a quiet time. Everybody's headed out of town. We certainly do hope that you folks all have a very Merry Christmas, a wonderful time with family. Don't eat too much. All of that. We will be podcasting next week as well. We'll bring one up and we'll give you a couple of updates on what has been happening. Once again, I really encourage you to watch the webpage. James is doing a great job with that and keeping things current. We're adding a few more pieces to it from time to time. We're going to also be working this break at a few things that will be brand new for us next semester. And we'll try to highlight those when we get back in January. So, James, any final comments you have on where we're at and where we're headed?
Well, besides basketball, it's just triggering my mind again that the Virginia Sports Information Directors every year have all-state teams, and coming up probably, well, the plan is before Christmas, is to be releasing the fall sports all-state teams. So you'll see the soccers and field hockeys and et cetera. You'll see some of those all-state teams popping up on our website. So keep an eye out for those before Christmas.
I also can give you a little bit of an update in the future about the ODAC board meetings that we had and a couple of things coming up there that look down the horizon. We had a great time together, as always, but we've got some new things coming up that we want to take a look at. So in the midst of all of the decimation of the Big East and the changing of the Big 12 to the Big 14 and whatever else is going on out there, the ODAC is going to stay solid, at least for the next couple of years. So, hey, thanks for joining in. Again, we hope that you have great holiday preparations during this time. If you get some time off, we hope that you get a chance to enjoy that and rest and relax. We'll be back again next week as our offices continue to be open. We will be closed during the week between Christmas and New Year, and we'll talk to you next week about what our plans are for podcasting. So until we talk with each other again next week, I invite you to make it a great week.